Hello, everyone. I am here, and y'all have to see this. I don't know if you can. Oh, it's just some of the stuff that we have stored in our room here for camp. We are here for, we call it retreat now. We called it camp for, oh my God, 12 years. So it's really hard for me to break the habit of calling it camp. But anyway, we're here. I am coming live super fast to do our Why Do We Quit on the Basics So Easy talk this morning. I have been up since 5, did a workout, got to run into at least, I think I saw 3 different PMP girls in the gym. I've done 2 Marco Polos to photobomb their groups. I said hello to one 11-year-old who she calls me the cussing lady, and she wanted for me to say hello to her, and I've already gotten a selfie. So it's camp time. It's always fun. And then let me put my glasses on because I can't see. Can't see jack shit. So let's talk about why we quit on the basics so easy. So one of the things I want to tell everyone, I'm going to teach this concept probably 3 times this weekend. I'm going to be teaching it in the tribe. Y'all have heard me talk about discomfort a lot. But if you're a fan of my mentor's podcast, Brooke Castillo, it's The Life Coach School. If you will go and listen, do you know the episode number? Was it 251? I think it was episode 251. It's called The 2 Types of Discomfort. I'm almost sure she said 251. I can't believe I'm remembering this in my mind from this morning. Yes, so that's the podcast. Guys, it was really good. While we're at camp, we are going to actually discuss this because discomfort comes up a lot in the tribe. Hang on, somebody's knocking on the door. Oh, you got it? That must be Mary Jo. Sorry, it's quite busy. So just so everybody knows, when we're at the retreat, we have 3 rooms. So we have like a main suite that I'm in, and then we have 2 connectors on both sides, and all the coaches. Sadie is here. Like we're hunkered down like a sorority up in here. So we're you never know when someone naked might run through. You never know when somebody's locked out because they went to go get coffee. You just don't know. So she was talking about the 2 types of discomfort, and I talk about this with you guys a lot. There is the actual discomfort that we go through when we are changing something, and that betters us, that gets us closer to our goal. Then there's the discomfort of bullshit we pile on top of ourselves, which is what I would just call basic judgment, the fat girl thinking type discomfort. And so, anyway, the podcast is really good for that. So I was thinking about it this morning, because I listened to that podcast. I listened to 2 different podcasts on judgment, because I just think that judgment is such a key piece as to why we don't do things. And I was thinking about our live this morning, and I think that's one of the reasons why we quit on the 4 basics so easy. If you think about it, it's because we're judging things in some way. So the different types of judgment that I typically see that come up for girls when they're going to not implement the 4 basics, not start the 4 basics, or quit on the 4 basics come from, it's too easy for me. So you're judging the basics themselves. So it's really important for you guys who have not started them or who have a hard time buying into them, you need to do a thought download on your thoughts about those 4 basics. How are you judging them? It is no different than if, like, let's say you go to the gym and you don't want people to judge you. You're doing the same to my 4 basics. You're forming an opinion on them without the full story. The only way to get the full story on the 4 basics is to freaking do the 4 basics for about 60 to 90 days consistently, as I have described it, which means you will show up daily and you will do a 24-hour plan, and you will show up daily and you will give yourself the gift of assessing how it went. You will be monitoring your hunger scale. If you catch yourself not doing it, you will ask, why am I not doing it? And you will set up triggers for you to start doing it. You will start noticing, if I'm not doing it, it's because either you're distracted or whatever, and you will figure out environmental cues to make sure that you are now able to do it. And then you will prioritize water and sleep. So you will figure out those 4 basics for 90 days. Nowhere in there did I say perfect. That's the other part that happens when we quit on the 4 basics so easily. We don't give them enough time to be effective. The four basics, guys, are not there to just get weight off immediately. They're there to lay the foundation, to give you parameters of how to lose weight while teaching you the most important skills of the four, of weight loss, which is always like commitment, assessment. It helps you move through the pain of not doing things perfectly and learning that it's okay not to do things perfectly, that the whole point of life is not to do it perfect. The whole point of life is to figure out how to get busy doing things and continually tweak and evolve until you get to where you want to be. That's like improvement. That's how we lose weight. Planning, it teaches you how to plan, how to show up for plans, how to get comfortable with planning, how to drop the, like the four basics just trigger so many mental things. And one of the reasons why we quit easily on them is because rather than like sitting down and just doing them and allowing yourself to work through all the bullshit, you believe everything your brain tells you. You believe they won't work for you. You believe that they make you feel bad because you can't do them perfectly. You believe they're too hard before you even try them. You try them a little bit and you believe they take too much time. And the only reason why they're taking too much time is because you're judging yourself. That's it. Like, guys, they take too much time is a red flag that you are beating yourself up somewhere, because you will use that excuse to avoid beating yourself up. So I think that we quit the four basics easily because it's easier to give them up than it is to work on what's really going on in our life, to work on what's really going on in our brain, to show up for them, to learn how to get over fat girl thinking, to learn how to get over quitting on yourself, to learn how to keep going no matter what. That's the hardest part of them. It's not the four basics. They're super simple. They're not complicated and confusing. The hard part is you not beating yourself up over your execution of them. That to me is like the hardest part. All right, so I'm going to go in here and answer a few questions because I actually have to get a shower and get downstairs today. And today was just the little basics one. Oh my goodness, here's MJ. I needed this today. Two recovery worksheets yesterday to avoid discomfort. Yeah, and so MJ, I really want you to listen to that podcast because I want you to figure out, I mean, I'm going to be talking about this, but there's one type of discomfort, like you have to decide in that moment when you were escaping discomfort, what was I escaping? Like what kind of discomfort was I going through? Because there's the discomfort of like understanding, like, okay, I'm breaking a habit. I feel a little antsy. There's that kind. It's like a low level discomfort. There's also the discomfort of, I'm never going to get this. This is so hard. I don't understand why it's taking so long to lose weight. I wish I could just be like everyone else. Normal people don't have to do this. I'm just so tired of trying so hard. Like, that's a whole different level of discomfort. Guys, when you know you're doing discomfort right, you don't feel like you need to escape it. You know you're doing discomfort wrong when you feel like you can't tolerate it. That's going to be, like, if you feel like you're having to escape discomfort, you need to work on the kind of discomfort that you are aligning with. So we're going to talk a lot more about this stuff, guys, a ton more about this stuff. Next month, I don't know if you guys know, but we're doing a whole accountability month. So we're not only going to teach you guys like how to, so for all the, especially my newbies, we're going to be doing a big thing where you guys can get, we're going to help you come up with accountability groups. We're going to teach y'all all about like how to, like for all of you that already have accountability groups, we're going to give you some structure, some training around all this stuff. But I'm also going to talk a lot next month about self-accountability and setting up like things around self-accountability in your environment and all kinds of stuff like that. I'm going to be blending some of the Atomic Habits stuff that I've been studying along with some of the stuff on discomfort and stuff. Because when you're self-accountable, guys, it's going to bring up discomfort, and you need to start identifying what kind of discomfort are you going through and move yourself towards the discomfort that moves you forward. The right kind of discomfort, guys, I promise you, is going to take you straight to your goals. It's like adding fuel to the fire. I'm feeling the need to categorize foods. If a food is not good, better, best, what is it? I don't want to use bad or unhealthy as everything that isn't clean an exception. Thanks. Yeah, like you would just, that's how I would look at it. I would just have like, these are good, better, best foods. If it's something that I know that I'm not going to be able to eat every single day in order to lose weight, I would put that down as an exception food. So it's only planned in exceptions. And then I encourage everybody to have one exception a month. But guys, that's not a hard and fast rule. You get to, or not once a month, once a week. You get to have as many exceptions as you want because it's your plan. The only way that you know, like let's, because I have several people, like when you're, you know, like if you weigh 250 plus pounds, you might be able to have more exceptions during the week in the beginning. And then you start tailoring them down because you won't be needing them as much. But you might be able to have more in the beginning because it's, you know, you can make smaller changes and get bigger results. And then as you get smaller, you might need more, less exceptions, but you've gotten very comfortable with not needing many exceptions. That's how it works. It's like you build confidence and you build skill, you build competency, you build momentum, you build motivation. And so your mindset around exceptions changes. So you can do that, but you could just leave it as good, better, best. Any food could fit into good. Even Twizzlers and Ding Dongs and stuff. I mean, you get to define what that is. Just whatever you want to define it. But I, in my mind, I don't go by clean and healthy. In my mind, like, good foods are always going to be, like, not candy. Like, I always think, I don't think of them as bad. I just think, these are all the foods that I would consciously plan and I would have, like, on a vacation or I'm going to have on a date night or, you know, I'm going to have when, like, I want those kinds of foods. Like if I want to have, let's say, like, full-on nachos, french fries, junk like that. Like, those are the things that I know that I love, and I don't have, like, a, like, I don't demonize them. I just also know that they're not going to make me feel good if I eat them every single day. I'm going to suffer weight gain. I'm going to suffer constipation. I'm going to suffer heartburn. Like, they're going to, like, cause things. I'm going to suffer high cholesterol. I'm going to suffer blood pressure problems. So I think about those foods as, like, totally acceptable in my life. They just need to be planned. That's all that needs to happen. Let's see. It's hard to believe the four basics are enough to lose weight after years of struggling. Coming to believe it's more than enough to let me lose. Mary, you have got to quit telling yourself that. Quit saying it's hard to believe. I want you to listen to that discomfort podcast because one of the things that Brooke talked about in there and she talked about with me personally when we were in our mentoring session last week is you know your poison thoughts. You have to quit trying to convince yourself that this is what I believe now. You need to just tell yourself, I choose not to believe that anymore. I'm done talking about it. I'm done modeling about it. I know what my problems are. We're going to quit fondling our negative thoughts. A lot of people do this. Like, once you get to where, like, you really understand what your problems are, you keep using them against yourself. It's like, we're just done with that line of thinking. Like, you need to just draw a hard line and say, like, no, the four basics are not hard. The four basics are plenty. And every time I think something different, this is the only thing I'm allowed to think. Because that's just a lie I keep telling myself. And I'm not going to model about it anymore. I'm not going to blame that mindset from when I overeat. From now on, when I overeat, I just take full responsibility and say, it's not because the four basics are hard and that's my belief system. It's because I need to sit in the quiet and eat. I need to be with my discomfort. I need to do these things. I find myself trying to do a mental 24-hour plan. My thought, I'm not sure I want to plan the rest of my life. Suggestions on a replacement thought. How about we do this, Melissa? How about we not think about the rest of our life and we just think about how the fuck am I going to lose weight today? Probably making a 24-hour plan. If at some point I decide I don't want to make them anymore after I'm experiencing weight loss and feeling amazing and I want to give that up, I can do that. But today, this brain is not so attached to my future self. Like, the brain today that's lazy is saying, oh, but in the future, you're not going to want to plan. She don't know jack shit. You know what she knows? She don't want to plan today. So she's trying to convince you that you're not going to want to plan in the future. She needs to, like, be told, like, look, when you're a size 8 or a size 6, and you feel really good, you know what she's going to be thinking? I'm going to keep fucking planning. Betty, what are you doing?
All I heard was jack shit.
Betsy's like, I want to hear what you're saying. She said, I heard the word jack shit. But you do need to think about that. You need to think about, my brain is trying to fool me into not even taking action now based upon what action I don't think I might want to take in 20 years. So the fuck what? Decide then. Today we know what we need to do. Today we need to be making that plan. But I'm going to tell you, as someone that's had their weight off for 14 years, I kind of like making the plan. I'm just going to tell you, I've seen it pay off. I love the results. I like the idea of not having to think about my food. I like that in 30 seconds of the day, I can know exactly what I'm going to eat the rest of the day, and I don't have to think about it anymore. All of you are like, oh, so exhausting to think about food, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, because you're thinking about food. You know what I do? I write it down. I'm done thinking about food. Guess what? Not exhausted anymore. It's just like when people make plans about work. It's like, I'm so exhausted. I'm just so overwhelmed. I got so much to do and everything. It's like, no, you don't. You have a list. Make your list of what you have to do. You don't think about shit except the next item on the list. When you're done with that item, guess what? You can think about the next one because you're going to get into action. You're not going to sit there and belabor all the things you need to do. That's bullshit. I keep hearing about the fifth basic, but I don't know what that is. The fifth basic is where you plan boom, boom with your husband. That's literally the fifth basic. If you know me, I plan sex with the king, and I teach everybody, if you want to have desire and you want to have an amazing sex life, guess what? You're going to have to plan that shit. And I love it. And everybody's like, but it's not spontaneous. It's like, look, my husband doesn't bitch and moan that I make sure that sex is a priority in our life. You don't have to tell your husband you're planning it either. Just be like, he'll be like, oh my gosh, I love Tuesdays. Seems like every Tuesday you're horny. It's like, I'm just like, for all of you husbands get offended by you planning it. I'm like, why did you even tell him? You don't even have to. There was no rule that said you need to tell your husband about the fifth basic. But anyway, the fifth basic is simply we plan boom, boom. It started off as a joke. Let's see. I like what Coach Betsy said this week. You will feel like crap in discomfort, or feel like crap after overeating. The former gets you in a positive step forward towards your goal. Why not choose that? Exactly. I plan one. Hey, y'all, do me a favor when you're typing stuff in. Will you hashtag ask right before it? That way I can kind of see when you actually have a question or when you're just making generalized comments. I plan one small inch chocolate square every day and call it an exception. Should I just call it part of my plan? Newbie here. Still haven't drafted my protocol. Honestly, Eileen, I would just probably call it, I would just put you have one piece of chocolate a daily for your protocol. I wouldn't call that an exception. I'm working on the last 5 pounds. Are the basics enough to accomplish that? Yes. Yes. If you haven't lost your last 5 pounds, you're probably not doing all 5 basics. Maybe all 5, but all 4 basics. Like, you need to be consciously planning every single day, and you need to be assessing. Through the assessment part of the planning, you will find what you need to tweak in order to lose the last 5 pounds. No one is going to lose their last 5 or 20 pounds unconsciously. No one's going to lose 100 pounds unconsciously. What sort of things do you tweak when you are fine tuning for a couple of pounds? You need to just look at your food plan. It may be you only need, a lot of times what I see with the last few pounds is people need to truly wait until they're hungry. They've gotten to a habit of eating that helps them lose weight, and they're not actually waiting for hunger, and then they're not actually stopping at satisfied. Because it is a lesser amount because you weigh less, but there's always something there in the back of your mind saying, but I'm so much better off than I used to be, or there's always a little something, right? Or, but this has worked, or you're going to find where you're grab-assing just a little. That it is no different than any other pound. The last few, it's always there's some sloppy somewhere. It's just, and remind yourself, there's something sloppy somewhere going on. And if I'm planning and I'm really assessing, did I really wait for my two for three solid weeks? Did I really stop when I was satisfied for three solid weeks? Did I get all my water in? Did I get all my sleep in? And then you can also assess and be like, am I really eating high quality food? You know, like by the time you lose a lot of weight, most people are eating pretty good quality food. Or are you eating Franken food, fooling yourself into thinking you're eating really, really healthy? Because I eat some Franken food and stuff, but when I know that I'm really giving my body the best stuff, I'm like, there's a lot of fruits and vegetables going on. There's a lot of this stuff. If you've like worked in some protein bars and shakes and little things like that, it's fine. They're not bad, but you need to ask yourself, are these the best things I could be doing for me? Why am I choosing them? A lot of times we're eating protein bars and shit, guys. We're entertaining our mouth. Like, I rarely ever do it. Like, if I'm ever eating a protein bar, you guys can better believe it's because I am stuck someplace and I have no other option and I am super hungry. I don't eat them at home anymore because I noticed when I was eating them at home, I was never really hungry. It's a planned snack. Oh my gosh, it's a protein bar. So good for me, right? But I was never really hungry. Just wanted something sweet. So I was calling a protein bar. It was my Snicker. Dressed up in a, like, it's like a hoe in a nice dress. The podcast, Brooke is my mentor. It's called The Life Coach School. And it's episode 251. I've been working to find my two. I use Corinne's questions. Are you satisfied anymore? Could you go for a power walk? Could you get up now? Oh, I saw all these questions. I thought was a question. It really helps me put down the fork. The episode number is 251, y'all. Let's see. Oh, thank you guys for answering that. Let's see, let me get my other hand going. My brain is telling me I should be losing weight faster. I know it is a shit thought, but this always the ugly conversation in my head. Yeah, hey, Jesse. I just realized who this was. Jesse and I are in a mastermind together. So anyway, she has been, she's at like me and Betsy, and now Kathy's in the mastermind and like a bunch of coaches. And she's like, just been in here for so long. Listen to you talk about this PNP. I thought I'd give it a try. Yeah, like that is always a, and I want you to see that that's a like poison thought. You're going to lose weight at the rate you're going to lose it. You're also going to lose weight at the rate that you are planning for it. And I always tell people, like, be in it for the long haul. If you want to speed the process up a little bit, you need to do it not from a place of, like, the pressure of losing fast, because you're ready to make more changes. Like, the best way to speed up weight loss is to not make changes until you're ready to make changes and you feel good about them, you feel motivated by them, you're excited about them. I've been talking about this a lot. Man, somebody smells good. I smell like fruity lotion or something. It would be Kathy Hartman. I'm like,
of course. Who else?
Here's Kathy Hartman. I don't know. I tried to show you, but I messed it up. Here's Kathy Hartman.
Hi.
She's getting ready. But one of the things I've been talking about is one of the reasons that I know that my weight loss worked so well this time was because I remember the whole time being excited about my changes and thinking about, like, what does a healthy person do? Like, I would daydream and visualize healthy people and my mindset around it. And I would think about that person that I wanted to be rather than thinking about the person I didn't want to be. And when you do that, you start building excitement in yourself. You start looking forward to your changes. What about us single ladies? I'm just going to tell you, I was single one time and I had things that would take care of the fifth basic. Kathy looked at me. Kathy is not all about the fifth basic solo, but you know, if Chris is traveling, I would go solo now. So there you go. Will you be any less satisfied if it takes you twice as long to lose it? I always appreciated when Corinne asked that. Right? Since planning the boom boom, I feel sexier and the husband loves it. Oh my God, we're like all talking about the fifth basic. That's hilarious. I'm at the hospital right now, staring at the breakfast menu. I didn't plan last night because I wasn't supposed to stay and pain drugs. I want the pancakes so badly. I could order an omelet instead. I'm having thoughts like I deserve it. Any help? Catherine, do you deserve pancakes because of your pain, or do you deserve to feel better? Like, the pancakes aren't going to make you physically feel better. Like, think about this. Why do you deserve pancakes? Because you're in the hospital? Like, think about this. I'm in the hospital. I'm on pain drugs. Ooh, I deserve pancakes. No. You know what you deserve? The gift of taking care of yourself. Understanding that when you order the omelet, this is the ultimate form of self-care. That you're not buying into the bullshit story that you deserve a pancake for your pain. No, order an omelet. I don't forget about you single ladies. I'm telling y'all to get off your ass and take action. Your action line, y'all need to quit using being single as an excuse to not be satisfied. That ain't no excuse. Just saying. Do y'all see my head working? We should have a Facebook Live at some point where we're like, all right, this is a TMI. This is like X-rated, whatever. We should do models on the single ladies with the result of being very satisfied. Negative thought. Better to say that's negative first or just replace another altogether with good. I would honestly, the coaches may disagree with me, but this is the way I think. I think that there is such power in acknowledging this thought's bullshit. This is a complete, like, no, ma'am, we don't think this anymore. I think you have to, like, start telling yourself. So many of us, like, I want you guys to think about your negative thinking. You believe it. So if you're looking at our model, your negative thinking is in your circumstance line. It's like, I am fat. I am a failure because I've never been able to lose weight. In your mind, it's not moved down to the thought line yet, that it's an optional thought, that it's not even true. Like when I say, like, you know, I'm fat is a total thought, right? People are like, no, I weigh this. I'm like, okay, what you weigh is a circumstance. I weigh 250 is my circumstance. Back in the day when forever I thought I'm fat was the circumstance. It's like, no. And the reason why we know this is because if you're thinking something that makes you feel bad, we know it's not a circumstance at that point. Circumstances have no feelings attached to them. Okay? So that's why it's really clear. I think it's important for you to, like, acknowledge that's a thought. That's something I've been thinking. I'm now changing gears, and we're going to start thinking this. It starts teaching your brain the difference between what you've been thinking and what you're choosing to think. How long did it take you to begin to see results? You know, honestly, Kimberly, I don't remember. I started off so slow. I just started with walking and stuff. I did not track the beginning. It's like 14 years ago. But this is the way I like to think about it. I started seeing results the moment I decided I was going to take action. I really want you to think about that. You guys think seeing results means, oh, the scale has told me I've lost weight. Oh, my pants are smaller. Oh, like all these other things. Results are the moment you decide to do something. That's when you start seeing results. You start laying the groundwork for where you're going. You start understanding, like, and I'm going to, like, campers, if you're here, you're going to get this talk, and then you guys are going to get this talk later. But I want you guys to think about, for so long, you're going to be doing things. You may or may not see results on the scale, but you have to be on the lookout for all the results that come with weight loss. It's not always about the number on the scale. That number feels great because of how we think about it. But you also have to figure out a way to feel great about all the little things that are happening for you. so that you can start embracing the whole process, embracing the whole process. Is if you're only waiting for the results on the scale, you're going to white knuckle your way through your action line, and the process is going to feel harder than it has to be. The more you can get, that's why I think for me, it took me 18 months. It took me a while to lose my weight and stuff, but I loved the journey. Like, it didn't bother me how long it was taking because I was constructing the entire time enjoyment of the process. So the scale was not the end all be all for me. Like, when I noticed myself, I remember one day Chris and I were at Hickory Hollow Mall. Nobody goes there anymore, but true. Right. But like, I remember one day we were walking through the mall and I hadn't lost much weight, but I had been going to the gym and I'd been walking every day. And I noticed how much faster I was just able to walk. And I noticed that I kept walking faster than Chris, and I'd have to slow down. And I remembered, I was like, oh my gosh, it wasn't that long ago where he would walk and I'd have to say, slow down, I can't keep up with you. And I remember just being so proud and being like, such a big moment. Like, I just remember literally that moment and thinking, I'm really doing this. Like, I'm making so much progress and stuff. It was moments like that, like when I think now, I'm like, that's when I started seeing results. So like, I want you to ask yourself, rather than how long will it take me to see results, I want you to ask yourself, what results am I looking for and what results am I ignoring right now? That would be a very powerful question for all of you to think about. Guys, when I throw stuff out there, you should really write it down and you should do it. What do I do when I eat to a 2, then 30 minutes or an hour later, I feel hungry again? I drink some water, Jessica, and I would write down how much you ate and like what you were feeling when you reached your 2 to make sure that you're actually getting to your 2. And then I'd also look back at what you ate and note, like, is there anything I could be adding to this meal that would give me some longer satiety? Very often when you're hitting a 2 and you're getting hungry again in an hour, you may not have enough healthy fat and protein in the meal that you just ate. It may have way too much. Like in the early days, when you're switching over from eating primarily a lot of like just, you know, if you've been eating the Cheetos and you've been eating the, you know, Ding Dongs and you've been eating pizza and all this other stuff, it takes your body a little bit of time to regulate, send in your mind the correct hunger and fullness signals. Like, it might trigger hunger before it's actually hunger just because your body's used to the way you were eating. So sometimes it's a matter of just sitting with it and just telling yourself, like, I know I'm not physically hungry. My body thinks I'm physically hungry, but I've actually ate enough. So I need to let this ride out to start teaching my body how not to send the hunger signal too soon. Or it could be like, I need to look back at what I ate. Oh, I probably need to add more healthy fat. I'll make sure that gets on my plan tomorrow. So it's a matter of just always assessing and looking at that data and seeing how you can fine tune and tweak. Those are also really good questions, guys, to like post in the Facebook group and say, I notice I'm getting hungry an hour after my food. Here's what I've been eating for lunch. What do you guys see that I could change? And that's also a really good way to get feedback and ideas on what, because a lot of people experience this and have already done that, and they can give you ideas on what they changed. How long on the plan, doing the basics, if you aren't losing weight, should you look at medical condition? Before I would look at medical condition, I would post what you're planning to eat, and let's make sure that you don't need to just tweak what you're eating. Just to make sure that that's not what's happening, we need to also make sure your 2 is dialed in. It's rarely medical condition. I'm going to tell you, most people that go and get a lot of extensive testing and stuff done, their doctors always say, no, it's not a medical condition. It's really not. Even I, like one of the life coaches that I work with and help and coach and stuff, she's a medical doctor who specializes in hormones and stuff. She was like, 99% of the time I tell people, it's like, it's not, you're not losing weight because of hormones. Women always think it's their hormones and all this other kind of stuff. And she's like, oh no, it's not. She's like, I can give them things to make them feel better and stuff, but they're always somehow jacking their food. And that's why they're not losing weight. Can you drink too much water and not feel your 2? You can. That can happen. If you think that's happened, what I would do is I would just dial back how much water you're drinking while you're eating. What's the difference between resist and sitting with discomfort on the recovery worksheet? Michaela, if you will listen to that podcast, that will totally explain it. And we'll tell you right now. Resisting is the argument in yourself. It's the, like, it feels terrible to me because of the stuff you're telling yourself. That's resistance. Feeling discomfort is understanding there's a purpose behind this. Oh, I'm supposed to feel this way. Like, I'm supposed to feel antsy. I'm supposed to, like, think about it. I'm so used to responding to my urges. This is very normal. That's leaning into discomfort. Resistance is like, I hate this. I wish this wasn't happening. Normal people don't have to go through this. I wonder how many times is it going to be like this before it ever gets any better? That's the other. When I plan for an exception, does that food have to be on my protocol list? No, exceptions are not even on your protocol list. It's all the other foods in the world. Is there a place where you can get the PowerPoint info from camp if we aren't coming? No, we don't give out the camp stuff is for people who come to camp. So eventually, like, what I end up doing is reteaching some of the stuff in different ways within the tribe. And then one of the benefits of coming to the retreat is, like, there's a presentation. It's not really a presentation. I hate to call it a presentation. It sounds so nerdy. But I'm going to actually teach something that I'm going to be teaching in the tribe. So I want to teach it live so I can get all the feedback and we can really break it down and discuss it and everything. And then I'll be just teaching it to the tribe in a couple months. But that's one of the benefits of coming is that I typically float a lot of brand new material at the retreat that you can't get in the tribe yet because I'm like still like processing it and studying it. And I want to be able to coach people live on it and kind of see where it lands in the group and all that kind of stuff. So they're going to get some of that. But we have a rule. We have Vegas rules when we're at camp. What happens at camp stays at camp. So that you know that when you come to camp, we're not going to be using you, you know, in, you know, that, like all kinds of stuff. So we do sometimes film it, but we film it for the campers. And sometimes, like, I'll just parcel out a few pieces to use for my own stuff. But I just think that there's something really special about traveling here for a retreat and stuff. And if we are trying to share, if I'm trying to teach material that I think I'm also going to be sharing with the tribe and stuff, I won't teach it to a live audience. I will be teaching it to a major audience, which is all of you. So I like to keep that mindset fresh for me so that when you come to a retreat, you know you're getting the best of me for the retreat version of Corinne. Afraid to use Evernote or Day One as a newbie, writing to create the brain connection, hoping to shift to Evernote when I'm feeling more confident with the basics. I think that's fine. I've been having a hard time falling asleep at night since listening to my hunger scale. I have a thought that I used to be able to fall asleep because I was full. I'm stopping eating snack before bed to feel full. Any tips? Yeah, quit telling yourself that that's the reason why you can't go to sleep. Here's why you can't go to sleep. Because of that thought that you keep having that if I don't eat something, it's hard for me to sleep. What if that's just a thought and you keep ruminating about it and it's driving up your anxiety and your cortisol in your body and you're ginning up some excitement? What if you just said, I'm going to sleep better because I'm not going to be worrying about weight loss anymore. Go to bed. In about a week or two, it will all be over. I'm not sure when we're opening registration for October yet. It should be in a few weeks, but we will be getting it open because we're going to be opening. I think the next thing we're going to open, we'll be opening the Don't Stop Believing race first and getting that all taken care of. So everybody who wants to sign up for Don't Stop Believing can do that. And that weekend is going to be very similar. We're going to do on Friday night a meet and greet, but I'm also going to be teaching on Friday night. While we do like a carb up dinner, and when I say carb up, like hopefully stuff that won't give them diarrhea on the race route. I have to be very judicious about what I serve. And then on Saturday, they are going to be doing the race, and we'll do a big party and all this other kind of stuff. And then on Sunday, we're going to do a planning for now what, like, because this happens very often after races, is the now what syndrome. It's like, I've been training, I've been looking forward to this and all this other stuff. There's a letdown that happens. And if you don't get your mindset right around how to continue this on as a part of your healthy lifestyle, you know, a lot of people blow up during that time. So we're going to be doing a half day training on that. We are also going to have, for people who come for the race, if they want to add the 2-day coaching, we'll add that on to the first 2 day, the 2 days prior to the race also. But you have to do the race in order to get that. Since I've been drinking coffee, I've had real bad smelling gas. I don't know, Debbie. I would say cut back a little bit on the oil to see if that helps. You may just be starting a little aggressive on that side. See if that helps. But other than that, it may just not be agreeing with you and not be something that you can tolerate. Some of the other girls in here might actually have more advice on that. I've never had really bad smelling gas with it. Are the prices of Don't Stop Believing event listed anywhere? Yeah, everything is always the same. So if you go over to the website, go to community, and events is a tab underneath that. The race, and everybody has a page. It will tell you all about what to expect, how much it costs, all that kind of stuff. We just haven't opened up the registration yet for it. So we're going to be getting that ready in the next couple weeks. All right, guys, I better get out of here. I have 25 ladies who are going to be ready for me to teach and coach and kick ass and all that kind of stuff. Just going to be a good 5 days. I'm really ready. I spend a lot of my time in the mornings when I'm working out listening to fresh content. So I'm just like all, you know, like, woohoo! Susie, I'm a newbie and I'm really struggling, feeling depressed because I'm not following through on my plan. You don't need to be depressed that you're not following through. You need to be motivated to solve why you're not following through. The only reason why you're depressed is not because you're not following the plan. It's because you're thinking bullshit about your, like, what you're making that mean, rather than what could I be learning from this shit? What is this teaching me? Post what you're learning, because you're going through the discomfort right now of bullshit thoughts about you, rather than, oh, I need to fix these things. So, all right. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.